This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.
All right, if I could grab everybody's attention, it is 12:15, so if you could take your seats and we'll get called to order here. We do have a full agenda with a few presentations and discussions, so I'd ask that we are expeditious in getting our food and settling in. All right, but I'm seriously going to call to order now. Great, thank you. Are there any late additions to the agenda, additions, subtractions? Anything that we missed?
Can I ask? Yeah. So there was, I'm sending it out to OA-EA members-Ls. Did everyone receive it last night at 10?
No. I just got the box update.
I didn't get an email. I was going to ask about that.
When you sent the email
and
you canceled the e-board, I got it a whole day later.
Oh, it seems like there's a delay in the...
Not that there was a delay in the mail.
Yeah, I didn't know either, because it sent
out. I can't
even
send out.
Yeah, so
he,
yeah. I didn't get
it either. Okay, so I apologize, sir, but again, thanks to everyone that was like, where are the agenda items, and we can follow up accordingly. So,
we'll see what's happening.
Great. Seeing no late additions to the agenda, we have two sets of...
We have
2 minutes to approve. We have March 18th and April 1st. We'll do March 18th first. Does anyone have any additions, subtractions, edits? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second? There's a second. All those in favor? All those opposed? Great, that passes unanimously. Thank you. We'll move on to April 1st. Any additions, subtractions, deletions, edits, changes? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? All those opposed? Great. Seeing none, that passes unanimously as well. Thank you for that. For business of the day, we have Ulysses here with us to talk about some towards new destinations initiatives and policy 6.4. So I'll turn it over to Ulysses.
Those of you who don't know me already, you might kind of show up and have like your food every time. I'm Hugo Clinton. I'm a recent grad, and I'm coordinator for the Food and Compliance Program here for the Department of Inclusion and Vertical Diversity. So, yes, I am permanent now.
Oh, yeah.
I've been tasked by the Mr. William Cesar, especially by the president, to figure out a way, given the current climate and the extension of PMUs, how we can better include each of the constituent assemblies in the PMU process. Particularly, she would like, and the UDC would like, for each of the assemblies to pick up their own set of PMU initiatives. Yours will be slightly different, and I'll explain a bit more about that in a minute. So, I'm assuming not everybody got all the documents from yesterday, but just so that I'm going to watch them regardless, so be aware that they are all available on diversity.cornell.edu.
We'll get those out to everybody, or they'll show up in the inbox in a few hours.
So just kind of a basic run through. This is going to be about 10 minutes. I'm going to brief through, and if people say questions at the end, that will save some time. We're just going to kind of briefly go over the TMU process and how it's created here in this past. How these across the university, review the tools that are becoming available to community assemblies to use in order to create and implement the initiatives. Then the fun part is going to be the changing federal climate that we're coming on right now, in terms of compliance that we really are going to need all the assembly public, and then how you all can go forward and create your own working plans and policy agenda for the upcoming year. Quick review of the University Diversity Council. The top five people, there's been a slight change. Sarah Hernandez from College of Engineering is now replacing Sherry DeCaro for the graduate students. So that's the small change of the UDC. The top five people are the University Diversity Officers, and the bottom two people are all the people that they report to. Not included in this list would be the president and the provost we have, this whole group reports to. but just so everybody knows the structure of how the accountability structure kind of really people have to do. Everybody's responsible for it. So that would be the soybean. So, quick review of soybean destinations. This is the cover of the document that you all kind of have right now. This is the latest edition of it. We'll kind of go through some of the changes. So, CND is the University Strategic Diversity and Inclusion Framework. We are trying to make sure that people know it's not a plan, because we're already in the conversation of plan is something a little different than framework. This is something that is administered centrally, however, it's handled very locally. So each of the colleges, administrative units, and schools are responsible for creating their own initiatives that are reported back to central. And they are based on the four core principles of inclusion, composition, engagement, and achievement. In the past, for the past couple of rounds, everybody had to choose at least one initiative that was focused on composition. This year, for the next 2 years actually, that is changing. So while we encourage people to take up composition, we want people to focus a bit more on the engagement piece of things. So the point of CME is to take people beyond just thinking of diversity in terms of composition. But we still want to acknowledge that compositionally, we have a long way to go in some areas. But people were focusing a bit too much on the composition. And we want to focus on what happens once we get people into the community. How are people actually included in the very fabric of the university? Are people taking advantage of the opportunities that are available to them here? Whether that's professional development, whether that's looking to see whether or not people can volunteer actively, whether or not they're actually included in the governance process and other decision-making processes. So part of that engagement piece is learning the lived experience of diversity. And that's detailed in the CND document, but it also has a section on the diversity website. And it explains the very specific government and looking at that. All of these initiatives must be measurable. We'll talk about that a bit more when we get to the evaluation piece. That was a big battle for people the first year. And those of you who've worked very closely with CND over the past few years know that was very, very difficult to understand. And we'll get to that in a minute. And then the other change for this upcoming cycle is that there is a decrease in the number of initiatives that are required. As I mentioned, 5 was the requirement before, but UDC has taken into account that some units are smaller than others. The president's office is a unit. There's not that many people there, so them carrying out 5 initiatives is a bit much sometimes. So we are decreasing that to 3 or 4 depending on the size of your unit or type of school, and that is up to that unit to decide, but we have to have 3 of them, can't go with it. So for creating the CND initiative, traditionally, although this has been here for 20 years, for the last few cycles, we've depended largely on houses and units who have created their own diversity councils and committees. Which is something that emerged after CND came about for the most part, but some already places were pretty regretful already had such a place. All of these organizations can differ. Some colleges include students on those, others do not. Strange, I don't know what that means, but they do. For your sake, I know that the SA actually has 2 committees dedicated to diversity inclusion, and they have a executive board position. The GPSA has a committee dedicated to diversity to address these things. I'm not fully sure if the UA does or not, and the UA has a campus culture committee that kind of administers a lot of this. But that's something to think about. You could also do it with the assembly at large if you want to sit down and create your own science initiative that way. And use your executive committee, but it might be worth it to kind of prioritize if, a lot of these things end up becoming components of people's strategic plans. We've seen a lot of people adopt some of their CND initiatives as deliverables in their unit for the year. Others have just included it as part of their grand vision. Actually, some people have gotten pretty good funding based on that. I've other things that people talk about in the past. And for you all, it should really become a piece of your policy agenda, which is why your initiative will differ a lot from the other. These are, again, approved by the deans of the colleges and the VPs of the unit, and then essentially set up to the UDC. So I'm kind of a little bit intermediary step now, and I kind of just been thrown into this. But so I'm going to be the person that officially, along with UCAT, is going to be the person for each of these, so we'll be offering consultation to each of the colleges and units, and of course the city assembly, the one that takes part in it, just to kind of help you refine a lot of your initiatives and see where they can be improved. I have some interesting questions about how, what your measurements and such like that are going to be, so you can, before they actually go to the GC. They also play in our and then really look for opportunities to collaborate. So one of the things on the diversity website that you'll be able to see, you're actually able to look at everybody's initiatives and sort them and filter them in certain ways. And you can see something like what units and colleges are working on things that are very similar. So we're going to try to enhance that and provide a little bit this year to make that website a lot more interactive. So people can really, really focus on the things that people that other units are doing and are able to collaborate. So that way you save resources. You're able to kind of not be in the wheel in a lot of cases, or build upon something that somebody else has already done and make it a little bit better. So for instance, something that will be available to all of the assembly offered through the site, we're going to be offering training that we were offering broadly anyway, but now we're going to present site that let all the leadership of all the assemblies, teachers, and all their members offer to part in a lot of those training. So your story, my story, some of you might have gone through that. There's one on conscious bias that we're also going to be offering, so that things like that will be available, and those are also part of other people's initiatives that will help. And then publicizing. So I think the best example would be CIT and DSA. I think they probably do the best job of really publicizing initiatives. They create posters around them, they have posters strategically in their places, so we can give you tools to figure out the best way to do that. How initiatives are evaluated. Still a little fuzzy for some people. You can't see this.
Yeah.
But it was sent in the things. The premise of this, I just kind of want you to see the overall picture. This first half will already be filled in for everybody. So based on the things that everybody's already reported to us. So that's the easy part. But this is so the part that everybody else has to do is just tell us what did you do this year. As part of that initiative, you can carry it out, how so, what was the how, and then what were the results of that. Did things go well, did they not go well, how many people showed up to your event, if it was a big event, what was the training, how was it measured, so what were the results of your surveys, your pre and post surveys, if you did those, just things like that. That's what you want to get. And then you need to know the next step. In the next piece, just like the next steps are going to be, we completed it, so it's been institutionalized now, and we're just going to continue it, or this is something that requires a three-year process that we're still going, or it's under revision, and here's why it's under revision, here are the things that we're going to change going forward in the next round. It's not enough for people to just say, oh, we tried it, and it's good. That's not something that flies, and there have been quite a few that have been sent back. And so in one of the documents that you got, there are examples that was actually kind of even how it was here. There are examples of good or mediocre initiatives and better ones going forward. The last thing is just for us, make our own notes. But this is something that we go over in the consultation that you all want to submit. So one of the things what our office is going to be offering now, a lot of these templates for initiatives, and ways to report them, so to make sure that they're consistent. The handy-dandy sheet that we have. Again, we'll give you examples of posters and metrics for communicating a lot of these initiatives, things like similar to what other people are doing. We provide in the database initiatives. There's also lots of demographic information that we have. So I know a lot of people are doing like dashboard, for instance. Great tool for you if you have not seen it already, to see the diversity dashboard. But we also have other information from other surveys that we've done, that our office has done, that are available. And we can give you contacts to all the diversity council leads and your membership to kind of help you if you're looking for those partnerships and collaborations. And again, our own one-on-one consultation with you all to kind of help you get to and always available. So, the fun stuff. We are coming down on a very, very huge year. So in case you don't know, the President Obama has been the president, but that was a bit confusing. President Obama has signed a number of executive orders, and then there are Congress has passed a couple of other amendments to previous the previous future legislation. So the biggest ones right now are revolved specifically around sexual orientation and gender identity, and there's a prohibition for removing non-discrimination clause included in that for federal contractors. Since we receive focus around the federal funding, yes, this applies to us. So this is going, this has caused us, so Cornell has been, I should say, is very progressive in the fact that we already have these two classifications in our own non-discrimination clauses already. But this is actually forcing us to change a huge number of our practices. We're undertaking a lot of initiatives over there. There are a lot of initiatives revolving around veterans now. And then there's also for individuals with disabilities, both of those pertain more so to the employment realm, so that has a lot more to do with you all. And that's the reason some issues that. So the things that you all can think of, again, these are the big areas that we're looking at. Our office is compiling, at the request of a few people, a very few very large policy inventory. One of them focuses specifically on the LGBT community, and the other focuses on disability and accessibility around campus. So we're looking at everything from in the LGBT community for like housing, what policies are for housing around here, not just for students, but also greater Ithaca, figure out how people are actually incorporated in here. Admissions policy, facilities is going to be a big one, so that's everything from restrooms to changing rooms, locker rooms, things like that. Athletics, and people being able to participate on different teams regardless of gender identity, and then employment is a whole other piece, but that's also something we're looking at. I'll give you something. Actually, I sent out a list of things that, a piece of the spreadsheet that we've already compiled, of things that you all could do right now. That was the question of the essay that we said they had in the presentation last week. What can we do right now? So that spreadsheet is a list of immediate things, our actions that you all can pick up. And then the big code policy is, I really encourage you to partner with the UA on some of these. Bullying, workplace bullying is going to be a big thing coming up. And again, restroom facilities and special thought policies under the district right now. So, things that you all can do right now, this is detailed a bit more, but currently right now in Workday, you are not able to change your preferred gender or your preferred name. Or you can change your preferred name, but you can't use it on other documents. So that's something that's Sure, particularly on IP types. Creating standards for accessible media. It's funny that the brand book, in case you haven't noticed, does not give you standards on accessibility, making your presentations accessible to people, or making sure that, or teaching you how to do it. Adoption benefits currently do not exist with surrogacy, although some of our peers are doing that, and we're finding a trend so that people are turning to surrogacy as another option. So that's something to think about in your university benefits committee, and the big thing we're coming out, especially under the new internationalization movement and part of the lived experience, extending protections to workers who work abroad. So if you think of our campus in Qatar, protections for individuals is non-existent. I've come to find out that we actually don't offer much of a consultation or training or anything through HR, so they have to hear people who are doing their own data work. Be like, hey, by the way, this is illegal, so be careful. Nothing like that. So that's something to think about as the Johnson School forms partnerships with China and other places. We need to consider what our employees are dealing with over there. And then an overall compensation review to figure out what our package is and if there are any discrepancies based on the different practices. That's something to think about. So that should initiate some of these things. So, your next step. Create new policy initiatives and really great things. I did send out the essay sample, one of the diversity and inclusion plans from 2012, just kind of as a template so you all can see what it looks like for the funding to create those things. Again, yours might not be measurable in that sense, but I think that's going to be the difference for you all because a lot of your items will be based on actual policy. So you would measure your success with what the policy actually changed and that's so, submit your initiatives by review, every for review, everybody's initiatives are due July 1st, as part of everybody's annual report. So it'll be great if your initiatives came in at that time, so we can review them all together, and you can show you different things that collaboration. And again, if you have, if you need any information, I'm more than happy to kind of direct you to what you do for the campaign.
Oh, yeah.
With that, I'll take questions. I know there's a lot, so try to talk fast.
With that said, does anyone have any questions for you? Thoughts?
Excuse me. The presentation here is, just to be clear, is as much to engage the assembly to come up with its own initiative as well as to take the new updates that you just gave about the new federal legislation back to our constituencies. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's sort of a two-part.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The presentation to the essay had to be slightly different because a lot of the executive orders don't pertain to the undergraduate students necessarily. All of them really impact employment more directly. So the list of things that I gave you, those are the things that you all should focus on specifically. Things like restrooms like that impact everybody around here. So that's something that could be that you could be taken. But you really want to focus on the pieces that, whether or not they're hired and treated fairly, or they're incorporated into the actual pipeline for promotions or things like that. So if there are any other questions you really could.
But as you said, every unit and college has its own initiative, right?
They have
everybody,
have.
All staff have their own local candy initiative that we're working
right. Right. And if you are not part of those and you're not aware of what your unit is doing, now would be a good time to try to figure out what it is they're doing. And the other piece of that is we're really trying to extend what we found. I'm sure some of you already know. Many people still are not aware of TNB for whatever reason. It has not been communicated well. That's probably our fault, but I wasn't here. So we're trying to figure out a way to really improve people or departments and units who are part of larger units who already have these things, who already have initiatives that want to do their own. So the Office of the Assemblies, for instance, under communication or university relations, might have its own initiative that they want to do, because they're so much more policy driven as opposed to kind of a broader thing that you want to see. So thanks for doing that.
Could I ask to maybe work with Eric and the executive committee to put together some sort of message or bullet points or highlights that we could share in the EA update, which we have monthly, so it might be a nice way to say, hey, Towards New Destinations coming up. You know, ask your department about it, so that we can get some momentum from the bottom up, sort of people asking about it, start that conversation. And I think we'd be happy to highlight anything, that you feel is best to communicate. You all, that's what you specialize in and focus on. So if you could help us craft that message, I think we'd be more than happy to communicate that out, should we know what's most important actually to say and how to say it best.
Absolutely. More than happy.
So yeah, that would be great. So Eric and Ulysses, sure. Nice to meet each other.
And they're really good. Because I'm the diversity rep.
Yeah, so, and Curtis, too, which you are well acquainted with Curtis.
What if he included?
Just a question,
Ulysses,
on the place you're having So what pieces are you looking, where is there any change for you?
So most of this impacts trans people.
Okay.
So this is a lot of the focus of, I think, a lot of issues like coming abroad, they can get applied abroad, you know, big focus, those are best practices that are compiled from trans institutions. So if somebody is going through the transition process, and maybe they haven't quite gotten to the point where they can change their legal name, which, as you know, requires that you change your, if you want to change your actual name, then you have to prove it all sorts of legal documentation that has to match your
person. Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a point.
Right, yeah. So, and for that reason, when there is a preferred name indicated that we need that people prefer to use and like to have on their other internal documents here and on their ID card, that's a conversation.
So the reason why I'm asking is because I have a different preferred name than my legal name,
right.
And that shows up on my email. My ID card is not my legal name.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, is that something, because I've been here for a long time and it hasn't changed? Because I can help with the work that you do.
Oh,
So this kind of leads to my other question is, are you the only person helping tie together all these CID initiatives, or are there people within each of the college units? Because it's conversations like this where I'm like, is this already happening and we just don't know about it on a university-wide level, or is this, you know, someone needs to spur all this to happen?
And we have so many meetings.
And the intention of having a meeting is for that whole conversation to happen. But that's not always the case. So the college is supposed to get together and be knowledgeable with a lot of this and actually discuss it at their level. The diversity leads have a couple meetings every year. And then, you know, everybody goes to the diversity community meeting that happens monthly. There's so many venues for this to happen where it doesn't happen. And, you know, ideally people would offer the original website.
Oh, that's great.
So that was kind of my follow-up question. You mentioned this website to help pull those things together. Where is that on the priority list of what do we need to accomplish first in order to pull together just for campus groups?
We just came out on the Liverpool. We'll be coming to Mary on Friday and the whole rest of Southern Gary and everybody else on next week. So once they approve it, it's listed as one of our things, but, you know, they just have to approve everything that we get from both of us. I mean, regardless of what we're going to do anyway, but whether or not they say that, we should be doing it. It's really nice.
Okay.
Wait, did you have something?
I'm
you want to come back to you?
The question I have is, so it seems like with everybody submitting their own initiative, there would be a tremendous amount of overlap and communication about this. And so I'm just trying to figure out how we have all these folks working on it already, and then you're asking for more people to come up with all this. It just seems like a lot of, and I don't want to be quoted on this word, it just seems like overkill, right? It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
How many people and how many initiatives are needed?
Right.
And then maybe, you know, I'm just trying to understand that.
So it's twofold. So I think the first part is that there are units that or other areas of the university that could very well specialize in the assembly group policy, because that might have more having specialized sets of things that could take people to medical field that aren't addressed in the FAS school, for instance. Those are the people who are looking to conclude. The second piece of that is when we're just communicating CID broadly, it doesn't necessarily mean we want other people to create initiatives necessarily. For some people, we just kind of want them to be aware of what's going on in their unit or department or, you know, and see, you know, well, if our unit is doing this, maybe as a department, we should jump on this too and go talk to our unit managers, our DT, and see how we can make sure that our department is included in this when they do this training or anything. You know what I mean?
I do, but it just seems like you're choosing a new department head for like already a unit head, or like probably down to the department head.
Yeah.
Like we're already doing this, so like they get on board.
Yeah, and I will say I think administrative units differ from the colleges.
So Curtis is anxiously raising his hand, and has been, and appreciate that, Curtis. Well, we're going to take Curtis and then, in the interest of time and sticking with the agenda, we're going to wrap things up. Really appreciate you being here, and we'll end with Curtis's question.
Oh, just a statement to answer your question, Bridget. Okay. Actually, each semester, all the diversity councils and diversity leads for each unit gets together to discuss their goals and discuss their upcoming goals, which is very helpful to reduce duplication and also get ideas for forming the next goal. So we just had that meeting back in February, and I believe it was about 70, 80 people in the room. Each unit was in charge of their, and it was a very good conversation about what other people are doing. Here's a chance to collaborate going forward for the July 1st deadline. So I think there's actually a lot of communication with the people who are truly are espoused accountable for the team D goals to be in the room together to know what's going on. I think the difficulty is how do you, those people who are accountable to those goals, spread the message to everybody within their unit.
Right.
But I would say that the people who are accountable are definitely talking to each other because we don't want to do repetition.
Right. And I will often do that. Our office is now in check for that. So, again, we do the initial review before you see other things you see is better educated. We would like to present the partnership.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm now going to turn it over to Tanya and Leslie Sadler-Meinhoff. The floor is yours. We are a little bit behind schedule, not to rush anybody. Happy to spend as much time as we need. But just to give everybody a heads up, because we do have some other things to take care of.
I think they're more important than
that. No, of course not. You know, you're one of the first Cornell staff members I really had an interaction with as a student, so I'm all about it. Take as much time as you need.
Okay. So it just so happens that this idea has been generated from the Student Academic Services Diversity Council, which is part of the Diversity Council. So how timely is that? And I know that you've had one conversation about this already, and I'm sorry that I couldn't be here for that meeting. I had another commitment, so I couldn't come. So I wanted to give you a little bit of the context for why we are bringing this close-day conversation to you. And I want to make sure I didn't see in what you sent the resolution that I had. You have to hear from someone else in the box.
Yep.
Okay. So here's the context. After last year's school day, there were concerns raised by staff and students about the lyrics, comments, and behavior of the school day performers. And this was especially about last year, but it wasn't limited to last year. There certainly have been concerns about other performers at school day. And so the SAS Diversity Council had multiple conversations about this. Gnashing of teeth and, you know, pulling a pair. What do we do? Because our commitment to supporting this diverse community and the wellness and the caring community that we have committed to as SAS, it just didn't feel like it was happening within the school day context. And so we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how we might have a conversation about this more broadly than just within our diversity council. In addition, as you know, and as Elizabeth mentioned, the heightened awareness about sexual violence, the policy 6.4, it's a national conversation, it's not just here at Cornell, and its relationships and misogyny and the negative climate for women, they all are feeding into this conversation that we're having about closing. So the question that I would like to bring to you is, how do we as staff raise our voices about an event that some of us, and I'm not saying all of us, but some of us feel is or can be counter to what we're trying to achieve as a caring community? And because the EA is an active voice for staff, and I happen to have been here when we created that, I thought that this would be a good organization to have a conversation with. We are also talking to the FA. In fact, there's a conversation on Friday happening with folks from the FA. And we invited Joe Cicito to come and talk to us, I think it was two meetings ago, so that would have been in February, to tell us about the conversations that he's been having with the Student Planning Committee around the selection of student parties. I must confess my ignorance that was just enlightened when I came in the room this afternoon about the artists for this year. Sounds like we are going to have perhaps a repeat of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Everybody know the artist for next year?
Chance the Rapper. I like to sing Cocoa Butter.
No, I listened to a couple of his things on iTunes. Mm-hmm. I kept them questionable. We knew that we weren't going to have an impact this year, we being the SA Diversity Council, but we were hopeful that the work that Joe was doing with the students might have led to a different outcome. And we'll see. You know, it could be that they wrote some things into the contract, which is part of what they were talking about doing, is in the contract for each of the performers having a statement about Cornell Care and Community and the expectations that we have for ourselves as a community. So maybe Chance is going to write some new songs.
If he do, it'd probably be real bad.
Anyway, what we are asking for is for you to add your voice to our concerns about maintaining ourselves as a community. And we submitted a draft resolution, and it is a draft. And I know that there may be some questions or concerns or ways that you might want to tweak it, which is we just wanted to get the conversation started. So that's what I have to
say. May I ask that we have the resolution read, just because I don't have my glasses and don't have the copy in front of me?
Yeah.
And the glitch we had with the email. So if somebody just wants to read through that would be great. Please and thank you.
You're welcome. So, whereas Slope Day is one of the few opportunities for the Cornell community to come together and celebrate both the end of the semester and being part of the special place. Whereas Cornell employees are encouraged to volunteer to help make Slope Day a safe and successful event for the community. Whereas the energy at Slope Day is always positive and people look forward to spending time together outside on the slope listening to music. Whereas last year some community members were so offended by one artist's lyrics that they left the event, thereby excluding them from the fun of Slope Day. Be it resolved that the Employee Assembly encourages the Slope Day Planning Committee to select artists for Slope Day and other events whose acts and on-stage persona are welcoming and respectful to our diverse community.
Does anyone have any questions or comments about the resolution?
So in talking about this resolution with other colleagues, one of the concerns that we had about the actual resolved part was that I think there's a disconnect between saying we want to encourage the artists to be respectful when they're at our community versus what it currently states as we're going to select artists that are already respectful. And the last time that we had talked about this, we brought up the point that, you know, an artist is never going to be universally loved because Elvis is dead. So. where do we step in to make those decisions versus what you had said where the suggestion came up of maybe including in the contract these are stipulations and we are a caring community and these are things that we want you to abide by when you're here versus the way the resolution reads now, which sounds preventative before you get to that stage.
Well, what's wrong with being preventative? I understand from Joe that that's the conversation that they're having, that he's having with students, is to be more thoughtful about the selection process and the artists that they're considering. I'm fine adding in a statement about the clause that is going into the contract. I think that's a good idea. And I think part of our role as educators is to help students be more thoughtful. And more planful in the choices that they make, particularly when those choices affect such an enormous number of people. You know, 10,000-12,000 people are affected. Some of us are what they call voluntold, so we have to be there. Some of us choose to be there. But we're seeing this also as an educational opportunity. But like I said, I'm not wed to any of the language, but that's the reason that.
Any other thoughts or comments?
In addition to Joe, are there other campus administrators, student group leaders that you've already been speaking with? What has been the reception from other groups?
We talked with the student assembly, and Edie, who is co-chair of the FAS Diversity Council, was hoping to be here, but she had a student emergency. She's the one who's been talking with them.
Okay.
But they're very open to working with us and also passing a similar resolution. It may not have the same language, but it will be similar.
Gina?
I guess the further DJ's question, have you had or has anybody had conversations with the Slope Day Committee?
Yeah, that's Joe's job.
But rather than having Joe carry your sentiments back, I mean, this is a first-hand presentation making for different audience, especially the essay. Have you also had that with the slow play committee?
I don't think so. I know that the slow play committee is a subset. Isn't it a subset of the essay, or there's some? I think there was some connection.
It's an independent student organization. They're byline funded.
My own ignorance.
Through the SA, so the SA appropriations committee would have some oversight just in the funding every 2 years, but other than that, there's not a direct line of oversight.
Okay, I could have sworn in the conversation we had with Joe that he was describing some sort of relationship between the two organizations, but it was 2 months ago. We haven't. Part of this is because we have been slower than we'd like to in getting our act together to have these conversations, and now is not the time to do it with the students in particular because Slow Day is a month away, not even. So it would be something that we would do.
The follow-up question is less on Resolve Club than on the first we're at. Mm-hmm. I think that the Slow Day is one of the few opportunities for the Cornell community to come together.
Yep.
That's actually not what Slow Day, I mean it is, because we have volunteers and volunteers that are encouraged to participate, but this is a student event. So I think framing it as something other than a student event is a little misleading in the resolution.
Okay. Should we say the Cornell Student Community? Would that refine it sufficiently, or do you want me to rethink that whole statement?
Well, I think the Slow Day is an opportunity for the Cornell community to come together, but that's not its purpose.
If I can jump in for a second, I mean, it definitely is a student event. It's very much geared towards, planned, targeted, paid for by students. It does have a community-wide impact. I don't want to say disruptive, but it has a huge impact on the entire campus community for that day or 2-3 days around Float Day, with many people involved either by job function, by volunteering. So there is a community aspect, but it is a student event that has an impact or effect on the entire community. And many of the community, you know, our alumni come back for Slope Day. Our Ithaca, there's resident tickets or non-student tickets. So there are other people that partake in our concerts and our events that are student events. So it's a fine line, and I think it's one we could maybe articulate some way. I don't know what that some way is, but that I think I'm trying to capture your sentiment, but still.
It's not a cool thing. We're not all doing this together.
Yeah.
We're supporting student events.
Yeah, it's not Charter Day.
Correct.
Which is everybody.
So what would happen if Cornell employees did not volunteer or volunteer? Like, what if they said, this is against my, I don't want to hear that kind of music, I'm not comfortable, and now it's workplace harassment, you tell me I have to go and do that, and no one volunteers, it can still be successful.
I think that's what we want to put in there, though, because I don't think that's what's getting out of here, because I would say something along those lines of, whereas Slope Day is a student-focused event, that is not achieved without the impact of staff members at the event. And I think having that type of language in there then sets very clearly that, yes, we understand that this is an event focused for students, but staff members have a large role to play within it. Because I think this makes it seem like, yay, we're all celebrating together. But it's not everyone is celebrating an event. People are working at that event,
right.
And I think that's the difference.
So they're working at the event, and is the main goal there to listen to the music and to enjoy or be offended, or is the main goal there to do your job while you're?
I would agree, but let me ask this: if I was sitting in my office and I had a lesson I heard in office, and I had really loud SMU to play, would Les be able to say that's workplace harassment because her workplace is not safe? But by me working down there and I'm having to hear, I can't ignore it, I can't not hear it.
I'm just saying, no, I don't think we should put it that way, but I'm just saying that, you know, on one hand, we're talking about, you know, being respectful of other cultures and other people, mm-hmm. but then on the other hand, we're saying it's okay to be disrespectful on this day.
So, do the students, do they have requirements or guidelines when they are choosing the artists? I mean, what do they use now? Do you know?
Well, that's what Joe has been working with them on this year. I am not at all able to articulate what they are. My understanding is that he's been developing those.
Not that being, just having more of a dialogue as a service provider that the employee is, whether volunteering, paying or work, having a dialogue with the committee at the time, you know, to be able to understand their choices of kind of voice concerns prior to any decision being made. But as a service provider, really, at that time, to be able to voice that. If I'm working, do I want that going on in the background? But not necessarily right now. I think if we can get, we aim it a little bit better, we can try to get clear.
Michelle?
I'd also like to mention that the energy at Culture is always positive. I would like to change that and strive to be positive. And if unless you're working in the ER or you want to be empty, it's
when you're in that ear line, it's so
positive.
Don't.
So My other thoughts is, you know, maybe in a resolve, we ask for spoken programming board, you know, in concert with the FA or the Dean of Students Office to put those requirements in there so that we stress the importance that, you know, there's some criteria when selecting an artist. Because I think the meatier we can have the resolution, the better.
So, after Dee heard feedback from the last conversation, she wrote two additional results that we might want to consider. One is that the Employee Assembly encourages the School Day Planning Committee to keep in mind support, take into account Cornell's mission toward being a welcoming and respectful diverse community while selecting the school areas. That's one of them. And the other one is we suggest considering a respect and inclusive behavior clause to all school day performance contracts that outline Cornell's commitment to diversity and inclusion. In addition, we suggest including a financial penalty for the artist if an infraction occurs.
Well, you need to put your money where your mouth is. Gina?
You're treading on free speech,
yeah.
And
we've talked with legal about
this. And it's a conversation that's tricky at best.
Yep.
And you get a lot of students who, you know, how they hear those words is very different than how I may hear those words.
Yep.
And it's subject to interpretation. And when you start dealing with penalizing somebody for saying something that you're going to infer or interpret differently, it's very, very tricky. So just be aware that it's a very complicated conversation to have when you get that. Start going down.
I agree, you have to tiptoe around it, but if you're hearing lyrics, kill a cop, if you have 3,000 people in the room and you say, what does kill a cop mean? Everybody's going to have the same, you know, I think there's a very fine line. Now, I used to volunteer for school day every single year through the day I've been here until the performer, Snoop Dogg, came.
That was the worst.
I have not been on that slope again, and I never will. It was terrible.
So I think that we definitely want to move forward with this resolution in some form.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if maybe at the next meeting we could bring it up, and we're happy to maybe meet offline with the executive committee or interested parties, voluntarios yourself now, so we can work through some of that language. But I think as long as we have a good, solid resolution, not that this isn't good or solid, just some of the feedback and improvements on it, I think we'd be poised to move forward at the next meeting. So, appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Any other questions before we wrap up on the slope day? And I guess the only last piece I would have is, actually, I'll just take that offline.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want
to find it. I do. I think.
I have one other thing. I don't know if it's going to be fair. So just a reminder that Princeton is also having these kinds of conversations. And I wanted, my reaction and Deanie's reaction was, where are our students? Why aren't our students saying anything? But we are as staff.
Which is good. And that's why we're here. Awesome. Okay, we have an election committee update, and I will ask that we try to keep this to the 10-minute mark or 15-minute mark if possible. Curtis, do you want to tee it up? Do you want me
to? I can try.
Do you want me
to? I'll just try because I was the task force chair. I think we came to a semi-resolution that we'll probably like to move the EA more to a unit college model, where and then with affinity groups, which includes that the EA will probably become larger, and then also we'll probably have a different election process in the long term if we go to a unit model, because you should vote for your representative based upon your unit. With that being said, the questions that we have, and I think this is where the conversation is, what to do now. As we know, June 1st, our terms are done and we have to have an election sometime next month. My initial thought, I'm just going to put it out there, this is just my Curtis thought, and I open this up to conversations, not wedded to it, is that we probably open up the election. We need an election, new board members, but do it for a one-year term.
To get everyone out.
So to get everybody to get a full board, and then use next year as a roadshow to talk about our new idea, talk to the deans and unit heads, really figure out what's the absolute number we need, like with the affinity groups combined, maybe from like the president's office, maybe with legal counsel units, if someone wants to get representation, and then everybody. So even the current members, all our terms will be up that year, so we'll all have to run under this new model. That's just my idea. I open it up to discussion. Anything to add?
So I think Curtis, you did an excellent job. Well done in articulating that. But we will open it up for. And so this is sort of just to get a sense of the body. We want to introduce this idea of the one-year term now, so that at our next meeting we can make that official. But just want to make it official, either yay or nay, through the voting process. But we wanted to get it on the record and in today, so that everyone was already knowledgeable about it, and we could have deeper conversations offline if anybody wanted to. So thoughts, initial reactions?
Do you think 1 year is going to give us enough time to get everything in order? So then?
I think we'll take as long as we have. So if you said 6 months, I think 6 months would work. If you said 3 months, we could probably work. If you said 2 years, it'll be 2 years. I think we'll take as much time as we have.
Would we, when we, a year from now, put out this new election, would we stagger the large group to say, okay, so many people are going to get voting for 1 year term, 2 year term, 3 year term, that you're not rotating your whole board every 2 years?
Well,
that's a good question. It's something we haven't thought of. Yeah. But I think that's...
I mean, I think you have a deal with
that. That's the year
planning.
That's further articulating, that's making the necessary charter changes. This is a complete charter overhaul. So next year is very nuts and bolts for the assembly. This year has been more get out, have raise awareness. We'll need to keep doing that next year, but we'll really need to get to work on some serious procedures, documentation, that type of thing.
So if we do then agree and we look at that 1 year, the fact that we're going to vote yes, we're going to play with the terms, we're going to look and analyze, and within a year from now we're going to move ahead with unit colleges and terms, wherever they may be. At that point, are we looking at opening up the sort of discussion of all those details to all of us? Or are we going to still do a sort of task force? At that point, we'd all be in the same boat.
I'll say, so the last meeting, we're running up against two things. We're running up against a time frame of what are we going to do, because we want to present something to the whole body, not just have a discussion of 19 again. But also there's the crux of June is here, whether we like it or not. So I think that was the decision of the task force last Friday, that we need a stopgap to pull us through, otherwise we're going to keep just like playing catch up. So right now we want to figure out how do we just get through next year, and then next year is the plan of all these nuts and bolts of what does the term cycle look like, because we weren't going to figure that out. Again, Curtis, if you remember back in March, was like, this is an aggressive timeline, and it's ambitious.
And I think, too, if before we change boards at the end of this year, you know, I think we should, at maybe our last meeting, vote in a timeline and a procedure for decisions, for when these decisions will be made, what will be made, you know, so Curtis and team start thinking about that now, so that there's something that the whole assembly is held to, and there's a way for people to follow a process. I do think it'll be a lot of task force committee work with designated checkpoints back into the assembly, but to take the whole assembly meeting for discussion, it's not a productive use of the assembly. So those of you who are interested, you know, make sure you put your name in for that so that you can be part of those discussions. And if you can't do that, just know that it'll come back and be reported to and decided on ultimately by the assembly.
So,
Gina?
I was just going to say, reflecting on the, it wasn't a aggressive timeline, and thanks to Curtis for really championing and really running a great meeting, so there's a lot of time to do that. The one thing that I will say is I would suggest and will support and help articulate the need for staggered terms, that it's not okay for this body to not have staggered terms. So whether it's one or three, that one of the resolved clauses that we're going through this for this resolution should be, I just want to make sure everybody's clear, that there will be staggered terms.
Like
the body needs to make sure
of
that.
So,
Curtis? I guess what I would like to hear before we get to the stagger terms is just, what do you like about this idea? Do you like the idea of units? Because, I mean, I think we spend a lot of time digging up the units, finding the count. Do you think it might address some of the issues that we have in the EA?
Steve?
I think as far as representation goes, I think having representation across colleges and units and things like that will help kind of put the pressure on those units to advocate for having members on the board. Because right now we know that we don't have a lot of people represented, and I think that could partially be just because it's not a priority to those departments. And seeing that there's a vacancy and like a continued vacancy would make people, I think it would make them more likely to try to fill that seat, knowing that the seat wouldn't be filled otherwise and that it would reflect poorly on their participation.
And I think it helps give a direct line to the dean, to the HR directors, to the unit heads, whatever the case may be, the vice president in some cases, to know and go on, you know, whoever the chair is at that time, you know, taking each representative and meeting with the dean or the unit head and saying, here's our goals for this year, you know, here's how Steve is going to play a part and represent student academic services, and keep those dialogues going. And one of our sort of discussion points was, next year, having some advanced conversations with our employee-friendly deans and unit heads to build a model, right? So like the vet staff council, you know, the human ecology, you know, different units as examples. So taking that next year to really stir up a lot of discussion and put the process in place. Yeah.
They're operating quietly where they are. And
bring them to the center.
Yeah.
So to get a sense, does anybody have any strong objections to the plan, which I know it's not necessarily as clearly laid out in detail, but the plan for a shortened election cycle and our normal election cycle coming up? You know, because if we're going to run into a ton of opposition, we need to rethink what we bring forward next week. But, you know, if there's no
just as an unofficial sort of straw poll, no major qualms, then I think, are we on the right track?
So my question is, how many people, what body do we need to make a charter change, to make a charter change, correct?
It would be, yeah, two-thirds.
So we need to do some heavy lifting to get, so you have...
We have 12 people here right now out of 19. So one short. So call your friend.
So yeah. I just want to put that out there to make sure that we have the people here who need to
go. So lean on your folks that you know or that are in your, you know, tighter circle to get here for the next meeting.
I have a question. Sure. I was just wondering, what are the gaps that have come up or the shortcomings that is making us feel that we need to expand the
So I think the biggest thing is just people not knowing who to go to. You know, there was at one point three of us from the hotel school. You know, certain colleges didn't have any representation. So as an at-large member, I represent everybody, but we're a little too big to represent everybody. So giving us a more focused representative structure is really, you know, we set out at the beginning of the year to who are we, what do we do, and who do we represent. And I think we all belong to a college or unit or an affinity group, and being able to plug into that and represent that, I think is probably the best thing for us. And I think that was sort of the sentiment of the committee.
Yeah, so the committee had really two focuses in terms of how we wanted to design what's getting more representation across the university in terms of diversity. And then the second one was
participation,
increased participation over. So representation and participation. I will also say that one of the last parts, which I think this is going to be that longer, we wanted affinity representatives too on certain areas. And we also definitely knew like Geneva would have its own unit, even though it's part of the College of Arts and Science, and make sure like the tech campus and stuff like that. So been in those ways. So I think next week when we meet, we'll bring a much more formal idea of what the framework is, you know, and then laying it out just to, what are we going to do just in that time between before we go on the road show.
So in the interest of time, I'll ask that we end the discussion. If there's any other concerns, comments, suggestions,
email
Curtis,
call me,
whatever, we can talk about those offline.
I'll just say one more thing.
Sure.
I think as we think about the 1 year term thing, anybody who's term is up and is thinking about rerunning, and that's for everyone here and those who are not here, that we're going to have to do a lot of work to get the model out there and push it out. We're going to need a bigger commitment from everybody who's able to get out there and push the new model to see if it can. And if you don't think that you should do that, you should think about it. Because I think we're going to have to do a lot of work to get it out there. And just being that we've missed a lot of the same things that people, you know.
When I joined EA the very first time, I was given a packet. I had to go see Amy, and I had to get a packet, and I had to make a poster. You know, I had to have people sign my petition. It was a lot of work to be elected to the Employee Assembly. When I came to the Employee Assembly, I had a mentor, and that was Joe DeMarco. He picked me up, he brought me to the first meeting, he introduced me to everybody, he told me the Robert rules, and, you know, in the very first meeting, I felt like I belonged. And I think that's missing.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that we're so glad to have you, warm, fuzzy, whatever you want to call it. You know, and expectations were in that folder. I knew that if I could not attend the meeting, I had to contact Amy or I had to contact, at that time it was Donna, you know, saying that I was not going to be at the meeting. And I don't think that's part of our responsibility now.
Some do notify us, others do not. We should look at a set of requirements and responsibilities, expectations, you know, and that's all part of that next year is really building from the ground up, what is the EA and how does it operate? And that's why it's a lot of nuts and bolts and details.
I think that's what Tanya is saying. If you don't want,
yeah, if you don't want to do the work, don't be there.
Don't take
a shot. We're sitting here right now saying that we need to vote on something potentially in 2 weeks that we might not be able to vote on. But if we didn't have, if we just had MPC, we could vote on it. We'd be
So let's move on. Two things. If we could move the George Peter, just real quick, I want to thank Tanya and Steve for making it out on Saturday to the plantation. The George Peter recipient was floored to say, and his colleagues and family and friends was probably the loudest applause I've ever seen from a group of 45 people. it was really cool. It was a really special event. So thank you for everybody that, that tried to make that work in the Office of Assemblies for putting their piece together, and Tanya for her 55 emails with everybody trying to coordinate different people in different places. So I'll turn it over to you real quick, just a minute update on any of the other George Peter information. Or
we have two more coming, but it looks like those will be probably more towards June. Mary's schedule is just there right now. And a couple, at least one of our recipients has a very challenging schedule as well. So trying to coordinate Mary's challenging schedule and
So the other thing is we have the UA. We have a request from Jim Blair, the current chair of the UA. They're having their organizational meeting on May the 5th. And so right now we have two empty seats and we have the chair seat. And Ulysses has reached out and expressed interest in filling that seat on the UA. I would also like to continue a seat on the UA, and then it would leave the chair seat to be determined to fill those seats. So I throw that out there. I think it would be, it's important for us to have people on the UA who want to be engaged or want to have a leadership role or have an understanding of the broad university and how the and how the employees fit into that. And Pilar, I don't think you've had any other folks express any interest in filling those seats. And historically, we've had a somewhat of a struggle because they meet 4:30 to 6 on Tuesday, one to two times a month. So I throw that out there. I don't want to necessarily. Gina.
Very quickly, the reason for bringing that up is we're working with the UA to change their cycle as well, so that their organizational meeting isn't at the beginning of May, giving all of the constituent assemblies enough time to do their own elections, gather their new e-boards, and then at some point, hopefully in the fall, the university assembly would put together its election. But that's not going to happen this year, and so what Greg is talking about, we're trying to coordinate having members from the EA appointed to the UA so they can participate in that, the elections or the appointments on that, at that May meeting. So it's all part of that same sort of holistic movement of trying to support and encourage all, each other. This is the year of the
So I don't know if, because I think in the past we've just, Pilar's just appointed folks, reached out and appointed folks. I just wanted to put that out there because I was asking to be on it again and knew that this was a new person. If anybody had any objections or if anybody else wanted to do it, I just wanted to make that opportunity available, and I didn't want anybody to think that there wasn't a clear line or open communication around the topic.
I need to fill those seats.
Second.
Okay.
Is there any discussion or dissent?
Move to close this discussion to vote.
Great.
Second.
You know what? I'm going to step down. I'm going to let BJ do this one.
All those in favor, please raise your placard. Okay. All those opposed, please raise your placard. Any abstentions? Okay, seeing that, I'll return the chairship to Greg.
Great, thank you. Appreciate the vote of confidence in Ulysses and the nomination for myself. I now want to turn it over. Billy and Kepner is here from the plantation to talk about
some items, and I'll just turn it over to you.
Sure. I'm Chip Ball. I'm Billy Kettner. I'm the marketing and communications person for Plantation. I believe it was the March meeting that you had a guest that brought up our name, which was very fortuitous. Our new director has been here for officially a year, and his main objective and goal was to look at what Cornell Plantations was holistically, from nuts to bolts, to figure out what we were, how we worked. And part of that was looking at our mission, looking at our brand, which includes our name. Now, there had been a move, I want to say almost a decade ago, for Plantations to change their name. Adina at the time felt very strongly against that, so it didn't go forward. We think things are different, and it was because of that meeting here that we were able to push stuff along even further. So first, thank you. And then to bring up our unfortunate incident of what we named our event. Now, I do realize that step back in the 1800s, in retrospect, was a poor choice of words at that. But you should know our intent. So our intent, that program was a program that we did 4 years ago for Judy's Day. If any of you have children who've ever been to Judy's Day, the woman that orchestrates this event is amazing, and the amount of work she does above and beyond her pay grade and above and beyond for the community is unparalleled at any other institution in town. If you ask any other institution in town, they always say, I wish we had a great name. And that too organizes this. And she also is very upset that we just didn't think of this. And for us, when we think of our name, Plantations, the word means an area under cultivation. And even though we don't like it, we want to change it. Desperately, trust me. I have to order stuff with our logo on things. It's this big. You can't move it. So, I mean, for whatever reason, it needs to be changed, hopefully. And I believe that will happen. But I did want to come today and express my apologies. I did not name it, but I take full responsibility for it. It was an oversight. And, you know, it wasn't until we received the first phone call yesterday that I was like, wow, yeah, I can see that. It just didn't occur to me or any of our staff. And that brings us to another concept that we've been delving into at Plantations, is that, I didn't know that's a good word, we have a diversity community, because we realize that we don't have a really diverse workforce. And we also would like to have a more diverse visitorship. And we are very happy to entertain anybody who would like to join an advisory committee for that purpose. So if you know of anyone, or if you have anybody that's very interested in that. I mean, we are a public garden. Cornell is very lucky to have a public garden on its campus. You have 150-acre arboretum. You have 41 different natural areas that we preserve and take care of. The gorges. That's us. So we are very, very sorry that did happen, that was what we chose. So we did rename it, and we pulled all the ads, and we switched them today, and all the images. It's a historical family fund. You know, the idea was to connect it to Charter Day. Charter Day was the 1860s. And it just didn't dawn on us. So I apologize. And I take full responsibility.
I think we all appreciate you coming and you taking the time out of your schedule. I'm sure today was probably busier than you expected it to be after yesterday. So, thank you. And I think it's to be commended what the folks at the Plantations did and how quickly they responded and heard that feedback and made the changes. So while it's an unfortunate event, I think it's a great example of how folks who are accepting and willing to hear that feedback and make those quick changes, it's really something that should be communicated with everybody, how well you receive that, because you don't know what you don't know, and you sometimes don't think about it if you're not aware to it, and that's the whole point of these tourism destination goals and the diversity councils, is to raise the awareness and the conversation and education level of everybody.
And then to that end, after the meeting that you had in March, our director met with the person who spoke here and with A.T. Miller, and has been in discussions with top levels of the university to see about what they could do. This is on record, I won't say that we will change our name, but that is a hope. I'll say them.
Does anybody have any questions for Billy or Tom?
Just to comment, the plant, your arboretum is wonderful. In Geneva, we have what used to be very nice too, but it's wonderful. It's a good job and excellent. So, minor blip on what.
But we appreciate that. But we did hear it, and we heard it loudly. We've said for a very long time at Marketing Communications Hope that the name didn't fit. If you have to explain what something is, you're failing at marketing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so when someone comes to Ithaca and you say you're going to take them to the plantation, the first thing they say is, what is that?
Yeah.
It's much easier when you call it a botanical garden or an arboretum. So anyway, that we've heard you loud and clear. We are addressing it as fast as we can. There's lots of levels that have to work through, but it is being done.
And I think the last thing I would say is if you are looking for staff members to get involved in your diversity council or initiatives, if you wanted to send us something over that we could put in our EA update, you know, calling for a few volunteers or just an outreach to connect with somebody at the plantation should they have interest, we'd be happy to do that.
And just two last things, and also on this note, Christopher is very sorry to be here. He's in Jamaica for his daughter's wedding. And then he's also meeting next May with the Diversity Council to talk about this very issue. So.
Okay. Based on time, we are out of time. So appreciate everybody being here today. Our next meeting is with Bridget Brady and the folks of transportation to talk about Cornell-specific transportation. This is not about TCAS. It is only about Cornell-specific transportation. Parking and transportation. So there'll be more information out. We have to touch base to see. I would like to do a meeting because we do need a meeting, and we can't have a total open forum. But I do think we will try to invite more folks to our regular meeting, and I think it is good for the constituents to see the meeting as it happens, as well as the sort of the open forum. So this one will be sort of a hybrid of the last one in a normal meeting, unless anybody has a strong objection to that. Pardon? I believe it'll be here. Yes. Right now, I don't think we should change the location.
So how would you go about inviting more folks? You would end up with too many people sitting here.
Based on what we had last time, I mean, I think if we consolidated our table and didn't have the open space, we could put, you know, two rows of audience, and there's definitely room to make it work because the capacity in here is 75. So we didn't have more than 50 last time.
We could sit about on the Facebook event like we did before and really get an idea of stage.
So
put up the Cornell event on the morning section.
With that being said, meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.